I got too many things running through my head here. I'm trying to remember at the same time. So bear with me today. The message should be interesting. Before we get into that, I remember what I wanted to share, and that was thank you for coming today. As I look around, I see a lot of faces that are familiar, but I see other faces that are visiting with us today or maybe visiting with us from time to time. And I want you to know something. You are very valuable and very important to us. We pray for you folks, all of you, and we're so thankful that you join us when you do. And we're thankful for your faithfulness and the consistency of those that come. So just thank you for the efforts that you make in being here today. It's a blessing. I wanted to mention that because we've got a couple, Joe and Heather, and their family. We haven't seen them the last couple of weeks, and they usually sit up here in the front. They're actually getting ready to move to Ontario. And so anyway, I spoke to Joe a couple of times about it, and Heather as well, and they've been blessed. They've enjoyed the ministry here in the fellowship, but you know, the Lord leads us all different ways and different directions, so it looks like they're going to be heading out here in just several weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks or so. So anyway, sometimes we get to spend a long time together. Sometimes we only spend short seasons together, but I value the time that we get to spend together when we do. So thank you for being here. It means a lot. And if you're able to keep coming, keep coming. If the Lord don't lead you anywhere else, we want Him to lead you here week after week after week, because it's a blessing to be together. God is good, and it's good to serve Him. I want to share, of course, the special reason for being here today. And I know we're getting short on time, so I want to be quick. But we are celebrating also today Father's Day. And fathers are a big deal. I have my father here with me in the service today. And, you know, I've noticed over the years, Dad, you tend to show up at my church, different churches that I go. You end up showing up there on different days. And I don't think it's because I'm a great preacher, but I do think it's because you're a great dad. And I appreciate fathers and the men that have mentored me all my life. And there are many of you in this room today and men in general. But I want to honor the fathers today. There is a gift for you at the back of the church. As you leave today, make sure you see Mr. Gary. He'll slap a Father's Day gift in your hand. But could I have all of the fathers? Would you please stand here this morning so we could acknowledge you and honor you today? All the fathers, all the dads, just stand up, please, if you would. And we're thankful for you men. We're thankful for dads that are leading families and children in this difficult world. So hats off to you, men. Thank you very much. You may be seated. 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you want to turn there, we're going to spend just a few minutes talking about dads, fathers, and specifically, really, men and what it means to be a man. 1 Timothy chapter 6, just as you're turning there, I'm going to read this card. As I said, lots going on here today, but I have a card that I would like to share. And it says, to the members and friends of Bethel Baptist Church, Pine Glen, Sandra and I would like to thank you for your prayers, cards, calls, visits, and meals. I am stable and feeling better day by day. Praise the Lord for that. My reading's not very good. The Lord knows we are His disciples in the way, yes, we love one another in Christ. The world knows that we are His disciples by the way that we love one another in Christ. So thank you from Guy and Sandra and keeping them in prayer again. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Wanted to talk a little bit about men. You know, men have lots of different titles, right? We hear that sometimes. We like titles. We like to define ourselves by titles, but sometimes those titles aren't always that great. But there are some good titles. I thought about some of these titles. Men of War. When you think about a man of war, you think of a manly man, a burly man, a brave, courageous man that's willing to stand on guard and risk his life. What about a man of action? Yeah, we appreciate men of action. Men that do what needs to be done. No matter how weary, wore out, tired, or broke they are, men of action get the job done. And it's that kind of a man, those kind of men or fathers that we honor, that we praise God for. How about a man of few words? That's not me, by the way, as you can tell. But there are those out there that are men of few words. You know, they have that strong confidence. And we often look to those men a few words to hear the final say, because we know they're often thinking and considering the challenges around them. And there's lots of different titles that we give to men and that we sometimes hear from time to time. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the titles or some of the places we get our titles, some of the ways that we are defined. And some of those ways we're defined aren't as helpful. For example, sometimes men define themselves by what the media says a man is, whatever the world says, whatever the magazine or the news program or the television program, whatever they say a man is, that's how I'll define myself. I'll follow that example or I'll fall into that mold. Sometimes they get it wrong, though. Sometimes the world, the media, doesn't always know what a man is or what a woman is. I think we're aware of that these days. And so sometimes the media will define what a man is. Sometimes a man defines himself by his looks or by his money or by the women that he has hanging off his arm or by, you know, fame or power or fortune or how cool his car is, right? We define ourselves in different ways, and sometimes men are defined in these ways. Unfortunately, in our world, men are often defined in ways that aren't so encouraging or, complimentary. You know, I've noticed ever since I was a little kid, whenever I sat down and watched a sitcom or a television program, which I'll be honest or frank, I don't do very much these days because there's nothing on worth watching, as we all know. But I remember growing up, and I still see it today, that the fathers, the men in the home, are often displayed like Homer Simpson. Can I just say, man, that's not a compliment, right? I think we know that. But for some reason, it seems like there's this idea out there that we need to portray men or in this idea that they're bumbling idiots, that they're foolish, they're clumsy, they make mistakes, they're lazy, they get it wrong, and they do dumb things all the time. I tell you, that's an attack against the family. That's an attack against men. That is not who I look around and see when I see the men around me in my life. I know very few men that are like that, thankfully. And so we have to be careful that we don't let the world define us, that we don't let their titles attach themselves to us. And so where do we go as men of God to define ourselves? We go to the Word of God, and that's the title that we look for. What does it mean to be a man of God? There's no greater title than that. And men, I want to speak to you specifically today that you continue to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a man of God. And we see different places in Scripture, different men that utilize God's blessing, God's provision, God's wisdom and leading to be the kind of men that this world needs. Men like Daniel, who said, I'm going to pray. I don't care what you say, King. Throw me in the lion's den. So be it. I'm going to pray. Or men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I'm not worshiping your false gods. We're worshiping the one true God of heaven. We don't care what everybody else thinks. And if everybody else wants to bow, you can all look at us as we stand and honor the God of heaven. You want to throw us in a furnace? So be it. Men like Gideon, God said he was a mighty man of valor and used him to defeat the Midianites and used Gideon to throw down the false idols of Baal and Ashtaroth and to sacrifice and to honor the one true God of heaven, our Heavenly Father. These are the kind of men that our world is in desperate need of. Men of God. And I love race drivers and I love hockey players and these guys that show off their skills. You know, I wish I could be like them, like anybody does for the most part. But there is nothing that I can compare in my mind to a man of God. To me, that's the pinnacle of being heroic. A man who trusts his God and carefully tries to follow him as best he can. You know, as I said, we live in a world today that doesn't even know what a man is anymore. And I'm not trying to be facetious or sarcastic or mean-spirited. But we hear these things. I don't know if anybody's heard of the name Matt Walsh. You might have. And they talk about these things. What is a woman? What is a man? And one of the reasons why we've lost our understanding of these very basic things is because of the attack on the men in our nations. The men who are the head of the home. The men who are going to be held responsible. There's been a lot of talk in the Southern Baptist Church about women pastors, and I'm not going to get into that can of worms, but I will say this. Men have been called, according to the Word of God, to be the authority figure in their homes. And that doesn't mean that women are not equal, men. Just like Jesus is not less than the Father. Amen? No, he is equal. He even said, I'm equal with the Father. In the same way, so is the wife equal with the husband. But there are different responsibilities that we have. And the man is the head of the home, and he will stand in account for how he led in that home. And just by the way, the office of a bishop is a good work, but he needs to rule his house well. In my mind, that eliminates any of the other arguments that we have heard. The point is that men are necessary. We need godly men willing to raise godly children and be godly in their lives. Men of God that fear God more than others, that fear God more than anything else. And men, if you can be that kind of a man, if you can aspire day after day, keep working, keep pushing towards the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to the Word of God to become a man of God, God will bless you and He will rear you up to be that kind of a man. And we need more Daniels and Davids and Gideons in our world desperately today. Never too late, men. You can be those kind of men. 1 Timothy chapter 6, just quickly, it says several things in here. Let me read the first few verses. It says, Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Paul, of course, is a father figure to young pastor Timothy, and he's giving Timothy some counsel and some advice. And the first thing he says here is, you know what, honor your masters. Honor the people that are over you, those that have authority over you, servants. You honor them. And, you know, this was a principle that I was taught by my family, my father, growing up, that the people that wrote your paycheck, the people that hired you and provided for you that opportunity to make a little living, that we honored them. So this is how Paul starts off. He says, you honor those that the doctrine of God be not blasphemed, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Then it says in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, if anybody teaches different than what Paul just said by the leading of the Spirit, this is God's word, here's what he says. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, if any man teaches the opposite of godly living, if any man teaches the opposite of what I just shared with you in regards to honoring our masters, if any man consent not to wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, perverse disputings, verse 4, Paul said he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questioning questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Here's the point, from such withdraw thyself. And I'll shorten it by saying this. Paul says to Timothy, if there are those out there that are trying to turn you from the Word of God, from the ways of God, from godliness, you remove yourself from their company. Don't allow them to influence you. They're trouble. He said they're proud. They don't know anything. They're full of strife, envy, questionings, divisions. Those are the kinds of guys, Paul said to Timothy, you stay away from those guys. They're not honorable men. As men of God, we want to be honorable. We want to have integrity, loyalty, maturity, morality, humility. And these are the kinds of attributes that our Christ, our Lord and Savior, demonstrates to be a man of God. I jotted down a couple of things quickly. Number one, a man of God yields to God's word. If I want to be a godly man, not a worldly man, but a godly man, if I want that to define me, then I need to follow God's instructions. If you want to be a pro golfer, then you follow whatever Tiger Woods tells you to do, okay? If that's what you aspire to be in all your life, to grow up to be a great golfer, then you follow the great golfers. If I want to be a great man of God, then I have to aspire to follow other men of God. And specifically, my Father in heaven, the Lord God. Men of God yield to His word. That's why Paul says, if any man teach otherwise, if anybody teaches different, if they don't consent or appreciate or believe the words of God, remove yourself, withdraw yourself from their company. Don't be around that. Number one, men of God yield to His word. Number two, I jotted this down, men of God are content with God. It said here at the end of the verse that some who have corrupt minds, there's a lot of that these days, they assume that their material possessions, that their plenty is blessing from God. Here's what it says in the end of verse 5 of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. That's not biblical and it's not true. Just because someone has a lot of stuff doesn't mean they're godly. If that was the truth, then there'd be a lot of questions in my mind today as I look around and see a lot of rich people that blaspheme God on a daily basis. Gain is not godliness. Then it tells us what is. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's one of the things that I learned from my dad. To be thankful for the little things. To be content with what I have. And I'm still learning to do that. And the Bible, my Father in heaven, is teaching me that. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what we're after, man. To be content. Whether you have a lot or whether you have a little, you're trusting your Heavenly Father. And you're learning to be content. Men of God are called to be content with God and nothing more. Psalm 23. The Lord is my what? And I shall not. He's enough. He's enough. Godliness is coming to that conclusion. And by the way, ladies, a little secret. This can also apply to you. We're picking on the men. But we can be godly and be content. And the Bible says that is great gain. Ooh, that sounds nice. Just as we move here quickly to the next few verses, it says in verse in 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. The world thinks that success and happiness can only be found in stuff. The more money you have, the bigger your bank account, the bigger your paycheck, the happier you will be. And many unfortunately come to understand this is a false truth. And we all, don't raise your hand, but we all know, we've all heard of those famous singers and actors that they have all the fame and money they could ever want and no happiness. And they leave these unfortunate notes behind telling the world, sorry, I just can't do this anymore. I'm out of here. And they take their lives. Well, they had it all. No, they had all the world's material possessions, but not the one thing they need the most, Jesus Christ. That's where our contentment comes from. And a man of God seeks nothing more than Jesus Christ. As men of God, we chase after him. He is our reward. Verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith that led them away, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And this is for the love of money. Verse 11, it says, again, just quickly, men of God, flee. Men of God flee from things. You might say, well, men don't run from a fight. Men are brave. Men are strong. Men are courageous. No, men are smart enough to know when to turn and go the other direction. And just quickly, it says in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Don't chase for riches. Don't chase for worldly titles. Don't follow those men that don't yield to the word of God. Be content, and that's where you'll find godliness. But flee these other things. Flee these ideas of money being where my happiness is. The Bible has a lot to say about running from things. The wrath of God in Luke chapter 3, verse 7. Men, we flee from God's wrath. Where do we run when we want to flee from God's wrath? We run to Jesus. We run to the cross. It tells us also in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to flee fornication. All around our world today, our environment is saturated with sensuality. And being careful with my words as I look around here, but we know it's all around us, pornography and these things, and we're just saturating this culture. It's just, you know, do what you want, live how you like, nothing's wrong, nothing's bad, and it's destroying us. It's rottening us to the core. The Bible says, run, stand against the wiles of the devil, but you run from fornication. That's how serious it is. We flee the wrath of God. We flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 says, flee idolatry. Anything that you choose, and I'll say it in a different way, anything that I choose, anything that we choose instead of God is my God. You say, wow, that's not very theological. If I choose over and over again something else besides God, if he convicts me, he challenges me, he wants me to obey him, and instead I do what I want over and over and over again, whatever I put in place of God is my God. And that's why the Bible says, flee, run from that. You know, your money can't save you. Your looks can't save you. Your car can't save you. Your false ideas about religion and heaven and God can't save you. Run from those things and run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee idolatry. 1 Timothy 6, flee the love of money. 2 Timothy 2, 22, it says, flee youthful lusts. Grow up. Run away from those silly, foolish, immature concepts and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ and be a man of God. Just as we close, we've got 4 or 5 minutes left. We are to run from certain things. That's the point. As men, you're not being a coward by running away from what you can never defeat. That's being wise. It's being a strategist. It's learning to live to fight another day in a different way. But we don't just run from things. We also chase after some things. Amen? Men, you're here today because you're chasing after the heart of God. And you're here today because you want your family to see you doing that, because you want them to do that. No matter where they are, what they're doing, you're setting an example. And also because you yourself love the Lord God. There's no other reason why you would spend an hour and a half, 2 hours in church, except for the fact that you're chasing after God. And I commend you for that. Because the world drives by and says, what a waste of time. Look at them. You know, there's a great game on TV today. It's good barbecuing weather. Your lawn could use some work. You know, what are you doing sitting in a church listening to fairy tales? And they don't know. They don't know that this is true. And you are becoming men of God and women of God and families of God. And that's what this world needs. We got enough of the other stuff that's not helping at all. But to be a man of God, we follow certain things. And Paul gives Timothy a bit of a list. He says, Timothy, follow after righteousness. Righteousness. Righteousness in two ways. Positional righteousness. In other words, when we yield to Jesus Christ as our Lord. Say, God, forgive me for my sins. I believe you are God's Son, Jesus, and that you died for me. You're my only hope. And I'm trusting in you for my salvation. Forgive me and save me. You be Lord of my life. You have, after you make that commitment, you have provisional security, or as I said, provisional righteousness. You are righteous in Christ. But then there's also the righteous living that we want to be a part of. So positional righteousness and practical righteousness in how we live. Men, do what's right. Do what's right. And whatever the Bible says is wrong, we do the opposite of that. You know, the world likes to talk about guilty pleasures, sinful pleasures. How many stories have we all heard of sinful pleasures leading people away from hope and happiness and family and peace? And those little guilty pleasures end up destroying us like a cancer. You know, God wants us to follow after righteousness because he loves us. He wants us to follow after godliness, having godly attributes and characters. And how do we have that? When we're in the Word of God and we learn about God, we want to be like God. We want to be like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we follow after godliness, faith. Again, that's what you're doing today. Man, if you've gathered up your family or yourselves or what have you, you've come to church, it's because you have faith. You believe this makes a difference. You believe that God is going to speak to you through the Word. You believe that encouragement is an important part of your life as a Christian. And so you're following after faith. This is a demonstration of you doing that right now. When you pray before you eat, when you read your Bible to your family, when you pray to God in your car on the way to work, you are demonstrating faith. Keep doing it. Doesn't mean you won't fail from time to time. You will, but it doesn't matter. You can still fall and get up and keep following. I've done that a lot. A just man falls 7 times over and over and over again, but he rises up again and he keeps on going. Following after faith, following after godliness, following after righteousness, love. You know, men sometimes are accused of not being very sensitive or loving. You know, I've found that not to be true. Not only in my own life as I grow in the understanding of the Word of God and the world around me, I sometimes can't help being a little too sensitive. But I've seen it in other men as well, who openly weep for the world or for their loved ones. And it's because of love. It's because of love. And so men of God follow after these things. We follow after love. We demonstrate love as we were reminded in a card today that's how the world knows we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. As men of God, how do you identify a man of God? Because they demonstrate love to those who don't deserve it unconditionally over and over and over again. And so follow after love. Follow after patience. Whether you're working on your truck or your car, trying to put together that IKEA shelf that you bought, you know. It's good to be patient when you're doing those things. Sometimes not easy to be patient. But this is what Paul is teaching Timothy, this young man. He says, Timothy, you chase patience. Run after that. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the fame. Don't worry about those other titles. They're not worth anything. But a man that learns to be patient will be perfect and entire. What? Wanting nothing. Content. Follow after patience. And finally, it says meekness. You know, some of the strongest men I know demonstrate a wonderful meekness. They're not arrogant, proud. They don't keep their nose up. They're approachable. They're easy to talk to. You gravitate towards them because you feel comfortable in their presence. And men of God have that effect on those around them. Timothy is learning these things. And Paul enforces or reinforces these things. He says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. And men, as we close here this morning, I want to encourage you to keep doing that. It's no small thing that you're here in this church. And I want to keep reiterating that because I know what it's like some Sunday mornings. I know what it's like some weeks when you question God and you wonder what's the point and is this really going to pay off and what good does it do? But when you leave here today, I am more than confident that God will have spoken to your heart and encouraged you and taught you in some way. Fight the good fight of faith. This is it. You know, this is base camp. You're getting your marching orders. You're going to leave here today. You're going to put on the armor of God and you're going to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And I'm here for you. And as men of God and women of God and people of God, we back each other up because we're in a fight. And so, man, keep it up. I know some days you don't feel like it. And some days you wonder why bother. But you already have the victory in Christ. The battles, look how they look. But you are already victorious. So just keep fighting. Fight the good fight of faith, he told Timothy, and he tells us. Lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Two final points just as I close. I've already shared them. The first one is, O man of God, flee these things and follow after all of these other things. And then finally, remember that men of God are called. We're called. Sometimes men get phone calls. Hey, I need your help, Dad. How many times did you get that call, Dad? The car broke down. Can you come pick me up? I got a flat tire. I can't get this out. I need help with this. I need to fix that. I need to borrow this. Men of God often get calls. You know, God has called on us as men to serve Him. We've received the call, man. And we know this is our wheelhouse. This is what we do as men of God. We stand up and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and we follow these other things. And we flee from what the world defines us as. You know, we hear things like toxic masculinity. You know what? We have a lot of toxic things in this world, but it's masculinity, the kind of masculinity that the Bible talks about, godly masculinity, godliness, meekness, patience, love, faith, righteousness, godliness. That's the kind of masculinity that will lead our family or our nation out of dark places and into the glorious light of the gospel. So, man, keep it up. I know it's not easy. I know you're up against it. But God will bless you for it. Father, thank you for this morning. And Lord, as we really blew through these words this morning, trying to just to get a picture of what a man of God looks like through this simple little passage in Timothy, thank you, Lord, for these examples. Thank you, Lord, for these attributes, these characteristics that we can model, that we can follow. And help us, Lord, to do exactly that, that we would determine to be men of God over all other things, over all other titles. Who cares what the world thinks? We know, Father, that it's you we're going to stand before someday. We want to please you. So thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for these men. God, I pray that you would use them. Father, that you would continue to bless them and help every single one of us, Father, me included, to become men of God who love you, who seek to please you with all that we do. Lord, bless our homes. Bless our spouses, bless our children, bless our families, bless our gifts, Lord, as we use them for your glory. And bless this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.